You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Rafif Ziada is a Palestinian spoken word artist and activist. She is currently touring New Zealand to promote her second album, We Teach Life. BFM reporter Amanda Jane Robinson spoke to Rafif about the album Palestine, Poetry and Activism. She began by asking what subject matter the album talks about.
I worked on this album for about 2 years. It's a combination of stories from Palestine and from Palestinians around the world. And it deals with issues like racism, sexism, the current so-called refugee crisis, the way people are treated as illegal when they try to cross borders. So it touches on different themes.
And tell me about your relationship with Palestine.
I'm a Palestinian refugee myself, a third generation. My family are refugees to Lebanon. I also, because of that, happened to grow up undocumented for most of my life. So themes of exile and dispossession are really close to my heart. And I thought that with the current way refugees are being treated globally, it was really important to speak out and put these stories out there, not as statistics or news stories, but the reality of how people actually live and survive.
And this album was produced by Australian guitarist Phil Mansour, who also plays guitar alongside your poetry. Why did you decide to include music, and how did that collaboration come about?
This is my second album where I include music. Hadil, my first album, was also with a group of musicians, actually. I met Phil in Australia when we were doing a Palestine conference together, actually. And we performed very impromptu, and it worked really well. The music with the poems just clicked. And also, it somehow, with the music, we were able to reach people a little bit more. People weren't used to just spoken word on its own. So including the music made it sort of easier listening, and it really brought out the words in a very, very beautiful way.
I guess this is kind of a broad question, but why poetry?
I started writing at a very young age, but I hadn't seen actual spoken word performed until much later in my life when I was in New York, where the spoken word scene was much bigger. And it just felt like a really good medium to say things and get through to people in a way that was different than news stories or big protests or big headlines. It was more talking about people, the way people survive, the way people cross borders, the way people live through war, what it actually means on a very human level to lose your home and have to flee to another country. And I often feel it after I stop performing. People just react differently. Palestinian culture is very rooted in storytelling, in narrative, and in poetry. I grew up to the poetry of Mahmoud Darwish, for example, and the stories of Ghassan Kanafani, so it was very easy for me to sort of see that as a form of expression against the Israeli narrative that basically says Palestinians don't exist. So it was a form of telling stories about our existence, and I feel it reaches people in a very real human way.
And as well as your poetry, you also take part in a lot of activism. You're involved with the Boycott, Divest, Sanctions movement. Can you tell me about how you feel your poetry intersects with activism?
Sure. Yes, I'm an active member of the Boycott, Divestment and Sanctions Palestinian National Committee. I've been with the movement since its inception. The call for BDS came in 2005, and there's three very basic demands to the movement. It's ending the occupation, equality for Palestinian citizens of Israel, and the right of return. Very basic demands that are all enshrined in international law. And in their totality, they basically bring about justice, peace, and equality for our part of the world. And it always felt very important to me that, along with the poetry, I also bring about action of what people can do. It's not enough to just be telling the stories and telling the narrative. It's very important to do that educational work, but also really important for people to try and change the situation and do something very practical to change the situation. So the reason Israel is able to continue oppressing Palestinians is because it does get a green light from many governments around the world. It does get support from many corporations around the world. So it was very important for me to also tell people that you need to stop your own governments and your own corporations from supporting Israel in the way that it does and in the way that it oppresses the Palestinians. And that for me is the intersection. It's going from the narrative and the stories, telling people the reality of Palestine, to then convincing them of how to actually take action around Palestine as well.
And I was watching some of your poetry videos on YouTube, and you said in one that it's women who usually hold the story of their nation. Can you talk a little bit about this?
Absolutely. I mean, I firmly believe in this. I got the stories of Palestine and what it is to be Palestinian through my mother, through my grandmother, through wonderful Palestinian women who stood to a lot of adversity. I mean, when an entire nation has to flee their homes and are expelled, it's usually the women that need to tie that nation together and keep that narrative going. And in the poetry, quite a lot of the poems are actually about the stories of women and young girls, their survival, not seeing them also as victims, because Arabs in particular, a lot of people talk about Arab women like we are the constant victim, like they're trying to save. Whether it's the war in Afghanistan or the war in Iraq, it's always this question of, oh, Arab women are oppressed and we want to save them. And I wanted to give the different image, the image I had grown up with, of strong women, intelligent women that keep their communities together and really survive amazing adversity.
And what do you hope that people will take away from this album?
I hope they get beyond the news narratives. I hope they can stop talking about human beings in terms of legal or illegal because of documents that they hold, and actually see that at the end of the day we're all human and we're all wanting basic equality and basic things, that it's not so different when somebody's trying to flee a war and come to a new place. They're looking for exactly the same things that you're looking for. I hope that they can see Palestine in a different way, not just turn off the TV whenever they hear that, whenever they hear Palestinian stories, but actually realize that there are people there surviving under very hard conditions that are seeking justice, and the way they would fight for justice for any oppressed community. I hope that we can get beyond a lot of the divisions that are being perpetuated in the world today and all act together for a better world. I know that sounds very cliche and very poetic. It's a lot more grounded in the poetry itself.
Just lastly, how can people follow your poetry and find out more about the Sunday show in Auckland, and then you're doing them around the country, I believe, as well?
Yes, so we're going to be in Christchurch, in Wellington, and in Auckland. I'm very excited because it's my first time in New Zealand. It's a beautiful place, so I'm very looking forward to seeing it and to meet the audiences here. All the details, you can find them on my Facebook. So if you just do Rafif Ziada and go to my Facebook, you can find all the details for all of it.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.